not to forsake the assembling together of one another. Lord, please open our hearts that we might receive your word. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Father, the words that are sown upon the hearts, which the enemy can come to steal, we pray that you will resist such an enemy in our midst this morning, O Lord, that your words which are sown in our heart might yield forth fruits, a bountiful harvest for your glory. Have your way in our midst this morning. Be thou glorified, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that it'll please you to grant me your unction to speak in the power of the Spirit, that these words will be words that would bring forth fruit unto repentance. These words will be words that will bring forth the kind of fruit of the Spirit that you are proud of. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the finished work of Christ. We thank you, Lord, because all that we do is not to earn salvation. That work has been finished by you. We pray, Lord, that in return, what we do would make us more like Jesus, because this is our desire. So, Father, peradventure there is anyone here today in whose heart that work of regeneration hasn't been done yet. My Lord, you have the power to bring life to deadness. You have the power to open the eyes of the blind. That which no man can do, I pray that you will do in our midst today, O Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where are our singers? Sister Bola, Sister BC, Sister Shadi. Oh, for the kids, okay. All right. I wanted to thank the whole choir for giving us a foretaste of heaven today. It's a beautiful thing when everything is so together, and just believe that God's presence was with us today. It was as if angels were singing today. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So last week, we started taking a look at the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and Christ's statement that it's been given unto his disciples, those who followed him, for them to know those mysteries. While to some, it had not been given, that even if they heard the words of life, to them it'll be mere stories. It will not penetrate their hearts. It will enter only the physical ears. All they will see is what anybody with the physical eyes can see. But there are certain dealings of God in the life of a man that goes beyond the physical, that goes deep down into the heart, that goes into the ears, that it becomes spiritual words that can be received in the heart. And this first parable that we started taking a look at last week, the parable, some people call it the parable of the sower, some people call it the parable of the four soils. This parable reflects some of these mysteries. And today we said that we're going to look at some of those mysteries. We're going to revisit this parable one more time to see what exactly is the Lord telling us in this parable of the four soils or the parable of the sower. We always have to remember, and it's a blessing to me to when I hear those words, to us, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. If we very well know the history of the people who God first appointed to take the gospel to the world, the Israelites, the Jews, and God is not done with them. But these were people who, unlike us, oh, sorry, I'll say people like us, because many of us might think that, well, if I was there, I would listen. No, if we were there, we would behave the same exact way, because it is by grace that we have heard and that we are hearing and are being changed today. In those times, the children of Israel, they heard, not only did they hear, they saw mysteries, they saw dealings of God that no one in history had ever seen before. They saw manna for 40 years. They saw a pillar of fire leading them at night. They saw a pillar of cloud guarding and guiding them during the day. They saw quails. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw the armies of Pharaoh being crushed as the Red Sea closed upon them. They saw the walls of Jericho come down. What did they not see? They saw the plagues in Egypt. And with all that seeing, they came to a place where they still hardened their hearts, where they would rather have a calf created by their hands as something, an object of worship, rather than the living God. And God, in his mercies, bore long with them until God chastised them by leading them captives into foreign lands. And even in God's chastisement, God still tempered his judgment with mercy, bringing them back again into the land. Yet they still hardened their hearts again unto God. God took them into Babylonian captivity. And God, in his mercy, brought them back into the land again. And yet they still hardened their hearts to the Lord. So what we see today is God's dealing with us, not according to the law, but according to his grace. Because it is God now doing the work within our own hearts. It is God, by his grace, making our hearts tender towards him. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we read these scriptures, we know that there's something that God does beyond what we can do of ourselves. We coming to God, we being a part of his kingdom, is no longer what we do in us, in our physical self. No, nobody can earn that salvation. Nobody can come. The Bible tells us, except the Lord draws us unto himself, nobody can come to God. And that is what God has done. That in itself is a mystery. That in itself is a mystery. So, we said we are going to look at Matthew chapter 13 today. And how many of us read it? You know, I said it last week. Did we all read it? Did anybody look at it? Soji, did you look at it? So, Josh, did you look at it? Oh, okay. You're excused then if you're not here. That's one thing. Okay. So, we're going to look at Matthew 13 again today. I know Sister Awura looked at it, right? You listen to it. Okay. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. All right. So, you know, whenever I read the word of God, sometimes I try to form a picture in my mind of what it was like back then, because we were not there with them. We read, just like we listen to drama on radio, you try to picture with your mind what is happening. When I read the word of God, I try to picture in my mind what is happening. When you picture, okay, Jesus, when he was younger, he was a carpenter, right? Because his father was a carpenter. And as he grew older, into his 30s, he now began his ministry. He was no longer a carpenter working, making furniture or whatever it was every day. So in his ministry, what was he doing on a daily basis? The Bible told us that he was going from town to town, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching the good news of the kingdom. So as he went from town to town preaching, how did he eat? Because nobody will give him food for free. And we didn't read in the Bible that he just said a cabradaba and the food will appear on his hand. And you know that he had people following him. The 12, they followed him. And there are some women that followed him as he traveled from town to town. There was a contingent around him beyond the 12 that followed him. How did they eat? Because they were no longer in their vocations. They had left everything to follow him. Do you ever wonder? I just wondered. Okay, let's go on. So, we know that Christ went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. First of all, let's try to define some things, and so that we lay some things straight for our understanding. What is the gospel? Is that Eniola? Sorry, I couldn't see you with your mask on. Welcome back home. What is the gospel? Derek, what's the gospel? If you don't know it, pass it on to somebody else. Oh, you pass it to Graham. So what is the gospel? Anybody? We're all Christians now. We all know it. So let's talk. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ went about preaching the gospel. He was preaching the good news. So what is the good news? The kingdom. Jesus came to save the world. What is the good news? That what? Why did man need reconciling? Okay. If man has sinned and the whole world has sinned, what is the result of sin? Death and eternal separation from God. And so the good news, as my brother has said, as all you have said, is that Christ, by his own death, because he hadn't told them about his own death, he wasn't preaching his death. What he was preaching was that man can be reconciled to God. The sin of man, which brings about judgment and death and hell, God has paid for it. And God is reconciling man back to God. And that was the good news that Christ went about preaching. And some received it, some rejected it. What was the means of receiving the gospel? Like I said, you know, we have to have the same understanding of some of these things. How did they receive the gospel? How does anyone receive the gospel? Because you know that the gospel now is that God is reconciling man back to himself through his son. How do we receive it? Please, if there anybody on Zoom, just let me know. Okay. Please help me read it because I can't. Somebody read it for us, please. If you let me know who is talking.
Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Two and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmaries.
Yes.
Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, 3 and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna. And many others who provided for them out of their means.
Exactly. So that was answering the first question that, you know, how were they? There were women who were supporting through their own resources the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Any answer to, well, how do we receive the gospel? Not yet. Anybody? Through faith. It's that simple. That is the simple answer. We receive the gospel by faith. And that is why, to some, you know, when something is so simple that you ask, can this be all? Is this all? And because we are human beings, we want to do more. You'd rather let somebody whip you to say, yes, I have paid for my sin. Or if they say, go and clean all the windows on the White House. Yes, you can say you've done something. But to receive the gospel by faith, that even a small child doing nothing can receive, it looks so trivial, so simple. But that is what God has done. I always tell people, it is free, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap because somebody else paid for it. Somebody did pay for it. What we receive through faith, somebody else has paid for it. Even the faith with which we have received the gospel, is it of us? Who gave us the faith? Ephesians 2, what does it say? By faith we have been saved, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So by faith we receive that gospel, and that faith is the means of repenting. And then what is the result of the gospel being preached? Salvation, redemption, reconciliation to God, and eventually, Romans chapter 8, eventually, that's it. What does Romans say? What does it use for it? Glorification. Remember that cycle. Those whom he has called, he will sanctify. Those whom he has sanctified, exactly. And eventually those who will be justified, he will glorify. Glorification. All these are the fruits. These things are the fruits that is yielded through the preaching of the gospel. These fruits, because when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, is part of what this thing, part of God's sanctification in our lives. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the people who have been redeemed by God, their lives yield fruits. And this is one of the things we're looking at in the mystery of these four soils. Now, I'm first of all imagining that all of you have read it, right? So, the sower went into the field, sowing seeds. Femi, have you read it? You've read it before. Okay, you know it. So the sower, as he sprinkled the seeds, what was the first type of soil on which the seed landed? On the rock. Or on the sideway, not on the rock, sorry. On the sideway. On the sideway. And the seeds that landed on the sideway, what happened to those seeds? The birds came and ate them. Some of them were trampled underfoot. What happens to seeds that go into the stomach of birds? It's gone. It's gone. The second type of soil upon which the seeds were sown, what did Jesus say that type of seed was? Soil was? Said it fell on the rocks. The sower went sowing seeds, and some fell on the rocks. And those that fell on the rocks, what happened to those seeds? How? Immediately, Immediately they sprang up. Well, most of you are not farmers. I thank God for making me a farmer because I understand some of these things. Any seed that falls on rock, what happens to it after it springs up immediately? Maybe Grandma Ned can understand. Why does it die? Because it can't take roots. There's nothing that holds it down. And it can get moisture for a little bit, but it dries and withers because that moisture is not sustaining. The third type of soil upon which the seeds were sown was what? It was among good ground, but what was around that seed? Thorns. Thorns, you know, as farmers, what we do is that after we sow our seed, first of all, you plow, you harrow, and then you sow your seed, and then you spread what we call herbicide. Back when we were used to do farming. And that herbicide, what it does is that the herbicide will kill the thorns so that when this good fruits, when they begin to grow, the shadow or the canopy that they make, it won't let the thorns and the weeds grow. But back then, there was no herbicide. So when they sowed the seed with the thorns, the seeds, good seeds for good fruits, and the thorns, the bad things, they grew together. And the thorns choked the good seeds. I don't know if you've ever seen how thorns grow. They wrap themselves around, whether it is corn or whatever. And so that thing will not be able to sprout up. They pull it down. And that is how those good seeds, they die. And then the fourth ground upon which the seed was sown, it was good ground. And he said that those seeds, they did what? They yielded fruits, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. They yielded what? They yielded what? Fruits. They yielded fruits. That is very important. You know, we've talked about the gospel, the good news, the means of receiving the gospel, the results of receiving the gospel. Now, if there is any seed that is sown that does not bring forth fruits, it is not on good soil. In the life of whomever. Now, from what we've been reading, we know that Jesus Christ now called his disciples because they came to ask him, Master, because they had the Sermon on the Mount. It was plain language, plain Aramaic, story. And now he's for speaking to them in parables. Why are you speaking to these people in parables? Because we know that all along you had been speaking in plain language for everybody to understand. And Jesus, that was when he told them. And from what we read in Isaiah chapter 6, because what Jesus Christ said here was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah that we read. Can anybody remind us of the passage we read this morning, what it said? In seeing, they will not see. They will see, but they will not perceive it. They will hear it, but it will not enter into their hearts. Their hearts will not be open to receive it. And this is exactly the fulfillment of that prophecy that Christ was telling them. That these people, they hear with their ears, but it doesn't penetrate. They see with their eyes, but they will never receive the gospel. Because some of them, what's the translation of Pekon Bunyan? Insult, thank you. They insulted Jesus to his house. You know how they insult somebody that, yes, we know that when your mother was pregnant, your father was not married to her. That was an insult. If you don't know what it was they were telling him, they were telling that you're a bastard child because you don't know your father. They insulted him. They rejected him. And it was at this point that Jesus Christ, now he was no longer speaking to them. And he was now saying to his disciples, you guys, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That is why these things that I'm talking in parables, to the people who their hearts have been moved by God, they would want to know. Because they would want to find out. They would want to dig further. They would want to research. What is he saying? What does it mean? Because to them, it will not be stories alone. It will be something that they want to appropriate for themselves. But to the people who will reject, there will be mere stories. And we see it today. We see it today. To those who will receive the gospel, they will find out what is the meaning of what Christ has said. And to those who would reject, they would either reject it totally or turn it into something else. Like I said, was it last week or a few weeks ago? The first book I read about this 30, 60, 100 fold, they said if you give God money, God will multiply it 30, 60, 100. That is totally different from what this passage is saying. And those who will, to the perdition of their souls, who would reject the word of God, they will turn it into something different from what Christ has said. The Bible calls it another, what? Gospel. In another place, he calls it, Paul said, the person I've come to preach to you, if other people come, they have brought another Jesus. Some people, they do not receive the Jesus of the Bible. They receive the Jesus of their own imagination. Because some people, everybody comes to church for one reason or the other. There is a reason why you guys are not on the golf course or tennis courts this morning. There's a reason why you have come. You are on Zoom listening to the word of God. There is a reason. There's a reason why you are, sometimes what we preach from here can be a little bit harsh. There's a reason why you stay to listen. Others, what they want is money. And they will find where the people will preach to them that they will be millionaires, that they will be this, they will be that. And Jesus Christ is telling us, he told us through Paul when he was writing to Timothy, he said that those who will be rich in the things of this world, they will pierce their lives with many sorrows. Those who will run after money, which money will be what they are seeking. And there are many who come to church seeking this because many churches, some pastors are now glorified babalawos. And there are places where people are preaching that and people will flock there. There will be places where Christ has protected us. Christ is our fortress, is our everything. But some people will still not believe that. They will go to places where what they want is protection from an unseen enemy or from whatever enemy is chasing them. Not wanting to receive it, that Jesus Christ has already protected us from the works of the enemy. There are some who everything that happens to them is somebody else's fault, but never their fault. Never their fault. And so they will look for who will justify them that it is always somebody else's fault what is happening in your life. And so you will find somebody who will let you know that, oh, we'll find somebody to help you. No matter where the word of God is preached, everybody goes for a reason. Some seek the truth, to know the truth, and they will find it. Some seek to know Jesus at a deeper level, they will find it. Some seek to know Jesus at a superficial level, they will find it. Because it is whatever you desire within your heart that you will find. Whatever you want Christ to be, he will be. If you want him to be Lord, he will be Lord. If you want to be Lord, he will let you go and be Lord. And this is the mystery of the kingdom of God, that to some it has been given to know, but to others their eyes will be blinded from it. It will be mere stories unto them and nothing more. And to everyone that desires the truth, God will bring into a deeper relationship to knowing this truth. And this is what he did to the disciples. He called them aside. And do you know something? When he called them aside, do you know that Judas Iscariot was part of those who he called aside to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to? Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed him, he was amongst those whom he called aside to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to. The soil that received the seed, Jesus said, is the what? No, the seed is the word of God. our hearts. The soil is our hearts. The seed is the word, the gospel being preached, the word of power being preached. The soil is the heart that receives it. And he said that that third type of soil, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they will grow, you know, they will spring up. But after some time, so, thank you, Stabola. After some time, when these fruits or the whatever the plant has taken roots, has started growing, they will grow like every other Christian grows. Thank you very much. They will grow like every other Christian grows. But one thing he said about the ones that have been sown amongst thorns is that, what did Jesus Christ say? The cares of this world. What are the cares of this world? What are the cares of this world? Sorry? What you eat, what you drink. By what do you acquire what you eat and what you drink? By work? And by what do you give in exchange for your life for work? Money. You give your time and they give you dollars. That's it. But if what they give you becomes more important than what the Lord who has given you the life itself can do, there's a problem. So Judas Iscariot, do you know that Judas Iscariot was amongst the 70 that he sent that cast out demons? He was amongst them. But the cares of this world was on the heart of Judas. The deceitfulness of riches was on the heart of Judas. So he did everything with the disciples. He did everything that Jesus did with the disciples. He understood the mysteries of the kingdom. He was seeing the Jesus Christ raised the dead. He was there when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus. He was there when Jesus Christ healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind. And yet, you see, that's why I said that every one of us have the same potential as the Jews. Because Judas, he saw everything. The equivalent of the Red Sea parting. Jesus did it in front of Judas. And yet at the very end, Judas still chose money over eternal life. To us, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To everybody, it will be given. But there's a place whereby grace, you in repentance receive something that others reject. Now, we talked about those who receive it, eventually they'll be glorified. Those who reject it, what will happen? Those who reject it, the wrath of God, the judgments to come, that God has saved us from, they will meet with it. So, the soil that on which the seed was sown that yielded forth good fruits. It yielded forth fruits. In the account in Luke, it says it yielded forth a bountiful harvest. I think that was in NIV translation, a bountiful harvest. There's something about the life of every one of us as Christians. And what Jesus wants is that the gospel that has been sown into your life, into my life, that it will bring forth fruits that the Lord would want. We saw a glimpse in what happens to a tree that is expected to yield for fruit but doesn't. In the account of when Jesus Christ came to this tree that was supposed to yield fruits in its time but wasn't yielding fruits, and Jesus cursed the tree. And by the next time they came around the same tree, it had died. Now, to every one of us, Jesus, there's, like I said, there's a reason why you're here, but we're not just here to sit and listen alone. There's something that God expects that has happened in your life that God expects that you now begin to live in bearing fruits. Some of the kind of fruit that you bear, definitely all, not some, all of us are expected to bear fruit of the Spirit. Before we knew Christ, we were people who loved ourselves more than anybody else. And as you bear fruit, you bear the fruit of love. You become selfless. Not self more. Become selfless. And allow the love of God to bear more in your life. Patience. Joy. Temperance. Long-suffering. Galatians 5:22. Timmy, will you please open it for us? And read it.
But the fruit of the Spirit is
But the
love,
fruit of the Spirit is
love,
love,
joy,
joy, peace,
long suffering, kindness,
kindness, goodness,
faithfulness,
gentleness,
self-control. Against such
there's no law. Against such there's no law. And against such there's no law. That's it, just 22. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, the gospel sown in any life, we do not talk about it enough, but I think this is something we need to take note of today. It bears fruits. It bears fruits. The fruit of the Spirit it bears. The fruit of righteousness also it bears. The fruit of the work of God in sanctification it bears. The hope of eternal glorification is part of that fruit. It bears. So we've not just been created and the gospel has been preached, we come to church. So it's not just about coming to church and going home. No, it's beyond that. My joy is that as I preach the word of God to each and every one of us, and to me also, that the fruit of the Spirit will increase in my life. Every year, that something, you know, if I've been not as patient, I'll be more patient because God is working within me. If I've not had self-control, that as I grow, I'll be more self-controlled because God is working within me. I cannot take a look at you and say that, oh, God is done. No, God is not done with any one of us because I do not know God's timing in working. Believe me, I've repeated many grades, you know. Can you believe it? I've repeated grades in the University of the Spirit. But God is not done with me. God is patient to still be taking me forward. Each year, I know that I wasn't the same person as last year. Yeah? The year I repeated, it was the year that the following year, I was less than the same person last year. But God is not done with me. And with each and every one of us. Jemima, God is not done with you. God is working within your life. That you bear much fruits. Much fruit. Because in John, Jesus says that the life that doesn't bear fruit, what will he do? He will cut it. He will prune so that we will bear much fruit. But if he continues to prune you and you don't bear fruit, he said he will now throw them in the what? In the fire. That is exactly what happened to Judas Iscariot. Because more was expected of him. Because he had seen certain mysteries and things that normal eyes do not see. Yet he rejected at the very end. But God has done more in our lives. Part of the mystery of the kingdom is that as the Lord sows seed into your life, he tills the soil. You remember, he's the husbandman. It is not we that till the soil. He tills the soil. He's the husbandman. He prepares the ground. He sows the seed. And that is the mystery, that he is the one doing the work to bring us. What do? We yield to him. We yield to him. We have faith in him. If you don't have a job and you pray, it is faith that allows you to believe that God can help you to get a job, right? Okay. Do you know it is by faith, if you fail in something spiritual, it is by faith you know that God is not done with you. And God will forgive your sin and lead you forward. One of the best, to me, stories of God's, the dealings of Christ in the life of a man when he was still on earth, was in his dealing with Peter. He told Peter, "You will deny me." Peter, in his self-assured way, "Me deny you? How can that be? How long have we been coming together? Me deny you? No, I cannot deny you. I cannot deny you." It says, "Before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And as Peter denied him the third time with cursing vehemently, say, "I don't know him. What are you talking about?" The cock crowed. And Peter realized it. And he wept. He wept. But you know something? When Jesus came, Jesus did not bring it back to him that, "Peter, hey, you denied me. I told you you denied me." No. You know? Tell me, that's one something you'll do, right? You'll let Josh know that, "Josh, you did this to me." "Oh, you're the most. Oh, so it's Josh that will do that to Tammy." "What did daddy say, mommy?" "Oh, more you." "Oh, okay. I thought daddy said his mommy." "Oh, he doesn't want to get in trouble." But when Jesus came, Jesus even gave him a responsibility that he knew that without Jesus, he could not. Because he said, "Strengthen your brethren." This was a man who had just failed. And he's asking him, "You, strengthen your brethren. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? At least, Lord, you know that I like you." And God restored him. That is the God we serve. That is the God we serve. That is a mystery of the kingdom. That it is not by might. It is not by power. It is always by the grace of God, that which he has done, bringing us into himself, restoring us back onto this work of redemption. Yes, sometimes we will fail, but he picks us up to continue that journey. At the very end, we'll be glorified with him. I always say it, my brethren, it amazes me, it amazes me. You know, when you read the story of the life of David, you read the story of life of Lot. You know that Lot liked booze a little bit. David liked woman a little bit. Samson liked woman a little bit. Joseph, Solomon, he liked everything. But yet, when the account was made of their faith in Hebrews, all their shortcomings, I never read about it. If it was Hebrews alone we saw, we'll say, I could never be like this. Akaba. Look at what all these people did. But God has let us know their story before their glory. So that you too will know that despite your story, the time of your glory is still coming. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you because it is your idea, it is your work, it is by your grace that we have been planted into your kingdom. It can never be by our own human effort. Your word tells us that even the faith with which to believe, it is a gift of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for revealing the mysteries of the kingdom unto us, for causing our eyes to be opened to knowing what you have done for us, O Lord. Jesus, we pray. Sometimes times of doubting, it might come as it came in the life of Abraham. We pray that, Lord, when those times come, help us to stand. If we fail, raise us up, O Lord. Jesus, help us to know that you are more than enough, because sometimes in this long journey, we begin to take our eyes off you to looking at the things around us. And we pray, Lord, when those times come in our lives, when because of one difficulty or another, we begin to see, Lord, are you listening to me? Can you hear my cry? We pray, help our faith, O Lord. You said that you know our frame, that we are human. You are the one that said it, O Lord. And we thank you that it is not a superman that you look at, but we look at a super God. Thank you, for it is you that has brought us into your kingdom. And it is you that you are revealing these mysteries unto us. So, Lord, we pray. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your laws. Open our ears that these words that we'll hear will be more than mere words that a human can speak. Open our hearts, O Lord, that your meek and engrafted word can be engrafted upon the tablet of our hearts, Lord. That we will not be the same. Each day, we will grow in grace. Each day, we will go from glory unto glory. Thank you because of the work you are doing in our lives. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Do we have any hymns?